This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Giddy hit Austin!
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. Oh, it's starting to get hot up here, but you know what? We're keeping cool here, man. We got the AC here at Trinidad World Recording Studios turned down to an icy 67 degrees, nice and chilly, sitting in here in the confines. Come record here at Trinidad, whether you're a pro, whether you're a hobbyist, just doing it for fun. We love, we record all kinds of folks here at the studio. 817-733-5256. Don't be surprised when I answer the phone and we start BSing about what's going on. Give me a call or email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Well, folks, who among us watches Crazy Heart, starring Jeff Bridges, the Oscar award-winning film? We all feel great sympathy and pity for the man, an artist writing his songs, unappreciated, unrevered, maybe by the industry. But some people look at that show and see him drawing 100 people in a bowling alley and think, I need to get in touch with who that guy's agent is. And that includes probably myself and definitely Kurt South. Am I right, South?
Well said.
You look at some of Bad Blake's gigs and just go, hey, that's probably a $1,200 door at that gig. I need to get on that deal.
You know, I don't.
No.
I don't at all.
On my worst nights, sometimes, I just think of Bad Blake's gigs. And I'm just kind of like, dude, hey, man, that's just my joke with the band. Like, well, you know the agent we need? We need Bad Blake's agent, man. Heck, man, at least he's getting a good crowd out at the bowling alley. Get him on there. Get us some of those gigs
already,
open for Bad Blake.
I've already done the bowling alley gig.
Yeah, no more, huh? Done?
Oh. I'm running out of places to play.
Well, man, it's no secret here that I was turned on to the writings of our old friend. Let me set this in motion here for our first segment. I want everyone to listen very carefully. I'm a big fan, a big reader of one Bob Lefsetz, the Lefsetz Letter. He is a independent guy, attorney, former attorney, wasn't he?
Former attorney,
former musical
head
attorney
of Sanctuary Records.
Indeed.
Current
LA,
jackass.
Is still in the industry out there, and he's always opining a lot on where the industry's headed, what it's doing wrong and stuff. I read his blog. Very interesting stuff. We pull a lot of topics from the stuff he writes about. Well, the other day, Lefsetz writes, he's kind of a lefty guy, you know, he's sort of a liberal, never had kids, he just lives in California riding around in his convertible, wondering how come the Eagles don't have a hit on the radio. So some of his passages get into that realm, and I'm kind of like, come on, Bob, come back to earth. But he has a lot of great points to make about what modern bands are maybe doing wrong, what some of them are doing right. Well, he comes out, he gives his two cents on the I think it was the recent Arizona gun laws and how musicians.
No,
hold on.
Laws. Immigration.
Hold on. He opines about his stance and makes some sort of comment about, you know, the musicians of yore, John Lennon or what, they took a stand. They stood for something. They spoke their mind. They didn't care what anybody thinks. So that's why we got to do this thing against Arizona, against the Arizona law, the immigration law down there. Well, which is his right to do. So he also has a lot of little lefty politics coming through there, you know?
A lot.
It comes to
yeah.
It. Well, man, I get the Bob always publishes his responses. And it's cool because you read through his responses. A lot of them come from big
heads of labels, or you know, Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, like, Bob, what the hell are you talking about? Kid Rock always writes in. So you see their responses to whatever Bob's writing, because the whole industry, a lot of the industry people read it. Well, I open my email after the Arizona screed, and the first email at the top of the list is written by Kurt South, just ripping Lefsetz to pieces in front of all his readers, in front of all his devoted fans, that Lefsetz, it was very well written, and I'll let Kurt talk about what it said, why he wrote it, and why he is now sworn, Kurt South, the didactic man himself, is now sworn he will never read Bob Lefsetz again. It's over. South, go.
I unsubscribed from the blog.
Oh, come on.
I unsubscribed.
Just like that, it's over.
Like that, it's over.
Just like
let
that.
Me explain why.
Okay.
Let me explain
did
why.
Did I set it up fairly? I was trying to get a background on what
absolutely.
Happened. Absolutely.
Nobody has enjoyed reading Bob more than me. Mm-hmm. He helped me in a lot of ways with what I do.
Absolutely. Guide.
What I liked about Lefsetz, and this is the crux of the whole thing.
Right, okay.
Is I felt like I could turn to this guy and really get the truth about what's going on.
Right.
And he delivered on that.
Right.
Okay, when it came to the music industry and what was going on.
Technology, Apple, he had a lot of great opinions about.
Absolutely. You know. The guy, he became a trusted source of useful information
yes.
in that regard.
No question.
And Bob has, because his readership is so large and yeah. so powerful and influential,
yes.
he has a very staunch stance on, hey, do not send me your MP3 and try to sell me on your band.
Yeah, he's always getting hit up like, hey, Bob, check out this band, write about it in your blog.
He hates that.
Yeah.
And he recently, a couple months ago in his blog, he told a story about how he tried to push something on an industry friend of his, and how that friend said, hey, that's the end of our friendship if you try to do, you know, please respect those boundaries.
Right.
And so anyways, he became this real trusted source for me. Right. I religiously read him.
Yeah.
I've dissented with him several times. And it doesn't bother me that I
right.
disagree with people.
And you know where he's coming from. You're kind of like, you know, because a lot of his blogs will kind of go off. He'll just talk about how he is going skiing with his girlfriend
yeah.
and how it's so much, Aspen's so much different than it was in the 70s and what they've done different. I don't know. I won't read those that intensely.
Yeah,
you know?
he's very self-serving in that regard.
Yeah.
You know, hey,
sure.
my life is really great. Read about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I gloss over all that. But I've disagreed with him, and that doesn't bother me that people and I share different opinions.
Right.
That's awesome.
Sure.
What started to bother me was, especially since Obama was elected,
mm-hmm.
Here we please go. Do not read into
here we
this.
Go.
I'm
here
not
we go.
Pushing
lean
anything
in. Here we
on
go.
You.
Here we go. Oh gosh.
But you know, Bob lobbied hard for Obama.
Yeah,
prior
he
to
really
the election.
Got into it. That's right. That's right.
And that was fine.
That's
I never
right
emailed. I never got
as you
over.
Probably expect him to do. You kind of,
sure,
nah, of course,
sure.
Lefsetz. It's the California guy is going to be all on board. You
but
know.
Then you know when the big healthcare issue came up. All of a sudden, Bob Lefsetz, who is a trusted source for certain
music,
things,
technology.
When it comes to that, this guy, I don't need this guy trying to sway my opinion. And keep in mind, he talks very badly about those who disagree with him. If he perceives you as not being on his side, he will rip you.
Yeah.
He will absolutely
true.
Rip you.
Yeah.
And that's why I responded the way I did. So when the big healthcare debate came out, he just, all of a sudden, he went from being a trusted source on inside music business information to being this left-wing lobbyist.
Right.
Which I didn't really appreciate, but I let it slide. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Because he demands respect from his readers. Do not push stuff on me.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. It kind of bothered me, but I let mm-hmm. it go. Well, then Alex Chilton, who is the lead singer for
Big
a legendary
star, yeah.
underground band, Big Star, Alex Chilton passes away.
It's very sadly. What was he, 50, late 50s?
58, 59.
Yeah.
And, of course, certain media outlets said, well, the healthcare system killed Alex
Chilton. He didn't have health care.
He didn't have health insurance.
That's right.
He died of a heart attack. Well, a little background on Alex Chilton. He abused drugs and smoked all of his life. And he made money his whole career. And by his own admission, he did not work that much because he didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like the man couldn't go out and get a policy. He chose not to.
That's right.
That's all the truth. You can go check the facts. But Bob just puts a post up one day. He goes, did the healthcare system kill Alex Chilton? And just posted a link. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me was just irresponsible, harebrained, and had an obvious agenda behind it. And I think to your readers who are looking to you for the truth and for guidance.
And though Chilton was a musician,
mm-hmm.
it kind of brings in a big slice of politics and divisiveness.
Yes.
And he starts forwarding maybe what you perceive, you know, it's kind of some stuff, it was
unnecessary.
Well, and to your point, you start to feel like it's no different than you emailing Lefsetz a bunch of your songs going,
right,
write about me. Lefsetz
right.
is now emailing you,
yes.
Whatever, New York Times articles, stuff about how...
And the thing is,
you know,
if you want to disagree with me,
right.
that's great. But please, research your point and support it with fact. And you and I can still disagree, but I will respect the fact that you have facts and have
well,
made
he had
a decision.
Facts, though. I mean, Chilton no. did die. Well, yeah, he didn't have insurance.
But all the other all these other facts weren't included that were very pertinent to the story. That Alex Chilton made the conscious decision.
Well,
the money that he made off the royalties from the song that was the theme song to that 70s show.
Yeah, yeah.
He chose not to use that to purchase health
mm-hmm.
insurance.
Mm-hmm.
He lived, by all accounts, a comfortable life in New Orleans. Liked to travel, didn't have to work. You know, these are relevant, important facts to the situation.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I was surprised after that article he published, as he always does, the responses. I was shocked how many made your point.
And I responded to that, too.
I didn't read all the way down. A lot of them were just like, gee, Bob, the health care killed him? What about all the drugs and smoking, the fact
yeah.
that he wouldn't go to the doctor? So they like... Or whatever. There was a lot of that in there. And there was a lot of you know, it's high time this country protected all of its
yeah.
citizens kind
yeah.
of thing. You know,
so
there was,
that,
it was, I was surprised.
That drove me a little
nuts.
So you
didn't like that. So
I didn't like
okay.
that because I just felt like he's, at this point, he's just trying to be a fire starter.
Right.
And push something that I think a large number of his readers don't want.
Right. That's not why they read his blog.
Right.
To be educated on
healthcare. And then
he started
kind of increasing his rantings on that to that end. And it just – but I kept
yeah.
letting it go. Well, then the Arizona thing comes up. And
uh-oh.
He uses Zach De La Rocha.
Lead singer of Rage Against the
former
Machine.
Former lead singer of Rage Against the Machine who De La
big
Rocha
time, big
is,
time activist, a very
he's
involved.
He's always been a jackass.
Oh, come
all right.
on. And he's always got a cause, right? He's always leading a march.
He's always leading a march.
Trying to get a statue of like Che Guevara put up in a town
fine.
Square
that's
or something.
Fine.
I don't
but,
know.
But basically, his music career is long gone. The dude's done nothing.
Man,
recently.
Yeah, had they? I don't know.
He's
rage.
Done well. You know, Audio Slave was.
Well, he wasn't in that.
Yeah, but he wasn't in that. That's
yeah,
what
right,
I'm saying.
Right.
They,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
So. The Arizona immigration thing comes up, and all of a sudden, Zach De La Rocha is leading the charge. I'm boycotting Arizona, and I'm gathering other music. Well,
all right.
The dude is using this to just get his name back in the headlines, obviously. And Lefsetz has always been one.
But you wouldn't say he just maybe believes in it strongly, you know, De La Rocha?
Well, I'm sure, but he believes in everything strongly. This is a guy who, it's not news that he's...
But your point is, Bob...
bought into it and then pushed it to his readers
well,
as a legitimate
thing.
Well,
let me say too, as some sort of mediator in this whole deal, that the passage on this said, hey, Zach De La Rocha is leading a march against Arizona. He's a true artist. He is he's following his beliefs. This is what the artists of yore did. You know, John Lennon would march, you know. He didn't care if people were with him or not. He had something to say. All these pop stars today wouldn't take a stand like this in fear of alienating some people.
Right, right.
So De La Rocha is to be respected. And I kind of was with him to there. And then it really does go off. It is just kind of a, you know, they're just going to be profiling and randomly throwing people in jail.
But here's
and,
the thing.
You know what
I'm saying?
So it did go – it did outlay the the case, you know, a political case.
But here's my point is if Lynyrd Skynyrd or Toby Keith, all those guys stood up for something, uh-huh. and he never applauded them because it disagreed with him.
Yeah, they were just an ignorant jerk.
They're ignorant redneck jerk-offs at that point. But when it's someone who agrees with him and does it, they're a true artist. And at that point, I started realizing I've been looking to you for maybe a little bit of guidance of what true artistry is and how it translates into some sort of success in the business. And obviously, behind the curtain, behind all this,
yeah.
is you and your political agenda that the darts are becoming sharper and they're being thrown harder as days pass by. And
I think you're right. You do start to notice it more, and I don't know, you just start to be more sensitive to it. You're kind of yeah. wait a minute, is this going to be just
is this
him?
The truth or is it propaganda?
Is it just him talking about the industry, or is he going to get into a whole? Because you know what's coming if the title is something
right.
like, you know, something that has to do with, you know, healthcare or Arizona.
You know
like, it's coming. So you're kind of like. Yeah, and to your point, you're kind of like, how's this any different than some band sending me unsolicited material?
Mm-hmm.
This is unsolicited material. The reason I read Bob Lefsetz is he's an insider in the music business. He's got a great perspective on how technology and music work together. He's got price structuring ideas. He's got marketing ideas.
Right.
It's very helpful. That's why I read him. I don't read him to hear his much like you may listen to a Neil Young record you love. Great, but you don't want to go to a concert maybe and have him sit there and lecture you for an hour
right.
about why the United States is
same
an,
reason
is an
I turned my
country.
Back on Steve Earle.
Yeah,
because Steve Earle would not shut up and respect your right to not have to listen to all of his political
rantings. Right,
whether you agree with them or not, it's not
yeah.
fun to listen to.
Well, that's
I
not even the issue. That's not even the issue.
I want you to play
whether
Fort Worth Blues
yeah.
and Guitar Town and get off the stage. And go somewhere else. That's what I want out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And relationships are built upon mutual respect.
Sure.
And I always,
and you
always
hey.
Respected Lefsetz's space that he laid out for us.
And the thing is, we love Steve Earle songs, and we know that we know what were his point of view.
Sure.
And so, we still love his songs, even if it does have a point of view that maybe we don't agree with politically.
Sure.
You know,
say it in.
I
the
mean,
song.
John Lennon's Imagine is kind of this.
It's a peaceneck view of the world.
Peaceneck
yeah.
utopia thing. That maybe you're kind of like, I mean, you're not going to sit there and attack it politically. Well, that's not really realistic. You know, you still got to have You just, it's a pleasant song. He's speaking through the song. I respect that. He's an artist, and that's what he's going to do. And I love the song. It's a great song. I love the song.
And that's part of being the artist is that you can put those beliefs into a beautiful piece of music and let other people do with
exactly.
it what they want to. That's where the Dixie Chicks screwed up, is they weren't good enough songwriters or whatever to say it through the music and let that be their platform. Instead,
yeah.
they have to get up, be obnoxious, be in your face, and immediately polarize
yeah.
their audience.
Just naked on the cover of... why do they have to be so
and
serious?
Then,
how come they just couldn't make records?
And then they went and said, well, we don't want all these redneck backward people in our audience. We don't want all those fans. Well, guess what? Your tour just got canceled, jackass. Guess what? I've never had a show get canceled because no one showed up. You have.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah,
but I've always loved the Dixie Chicks. But
forget, hey. 2010, top 10 Kurt South moments, that's going to be number one. That is the front runner right there. We did the top 10 Kurt South moments of 2009, and that is going to be way up there.
Well, but I did.
Tour just got canceled.
I sent a scathing email to Bob because I just said, hey, the respect that you ask people to give to you, you continuously violate with your readers.
Hey, great point. Hold that thought, Kurt
right.
South. We're going to get more into this. Get into what Kurt's email actually said and kind of the essence of that as I read horrified. I wasn't horrified. I was just laughing. I was surprised. It was number one. I mean, this guy gets hundreds of responses. I don't know if he puts them in any sort of order, if it's just random. I don't know. But Kurt South.
He puts famous people
one.
First.
Famous people first. So we're going to talk about Kurt's email. Lefsetz. You know, we did a show a while back on where do you draw the line when the artist is getting political. Where do you weigh that, and where does it start to go wrong? We're going to talk more about that in our next segment. Stay tuned.
talking without another word. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Our good friend Kurt South is here, spewing vitriol in every direction. It is all over the studio here, just spewing the venom that makes him one half of the didactic duo, the Dark Knight of the podcast. Well, this all got started from our last segment, of course, talking about how Kurt has sworn off Bob Lefsetz on the grounds of him breaching the contract of writer and reader. Much as a contract between a listener of an artist can be breached. And we're talking more about that. We had that show a while back. Mm-hmm. Someone wrote us a letter. It was a fan letter. Mm-hmm. Some listener saying, man, where do you draw the line of how do you reconcile, you know, politics and some artists, you know, doing something for a cause or something like that. And this kind of speaks to that point. It's something that comes up all the time. It's like, mm-hmm. I love his music, but then when he starts talking, man, it rubs me wrong because he's all about this. So, for those of y'all scoring at home, this is the email here. We've pulled it up here. We're logged into Kurt South's Google account here, Gmail. Gosh, is this going to, like, infect my computer?
Probably.
Is there something, some sort of virus here?
Probably some porn in there.
God. Yeah, get this off of here quick. So I wake up in the morning. I'm reading Lefsetz's responses. So this is the first one, Kurt South. And here it is. I'll edit it because it's a family show. It's a family show. Just like you don't like people trying to sell acts to you and sending you MP3s, I don't appreciate you trying to push a political agenda with me. No one is looking to you for that. And of course De La Rocha is trying to revive a career left in the dust. You of all people should recognize this. Don't you call out has-beens for such things? Aren't you supposed to be a voice of reason? I guess only if it fits your politics. I've been a vocal supporter and follower of your blog. I don't care that we disagree. I care that you shoot from the hip and ignore facts and obviously live in a parallel universe where laws, standards, policies, and the truth make little difference. I've read my last bit of Lefsetz and am now filing it away with all the other useless trash that the media gives me. You're effing better than this, Kurt South.
God, it sounds so violent when read by someone else.
Well, how was that? How was that reading there? That was kind of I tried to give it a Shakespearean feel to it.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it did it justice.
Well, I didn't want to just sort of read it, kind of like da 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 da. You know?
No.
It's passionately written, so I tried to deliver it with a little feeling there. Well said, South. Well, geez, I mean, I got a lot of emails from people who read Lefsetz going, dude. Is that Kurt? Is that him? Is it Kurt? I said, yeah, dude, I think so. So I finally got in touch with you that day. Yeah.
Yeah, that was me.
Yes, it's always a difficult question, man. You know, we all love this guy and that guy, but
I don't think it's that difficult of a question. What's difficult is getting the artist and their ego and what they perceive as their influence on people, is keeping that in check. And right. The artist remembering...
They overstep their bounds.
Yeah, just remember why you're here. You know, yeah. I always laugh at Neil Young railing against the corporations. Well,
right.
Last I checked, that record label that made you famous is a huge multinational corporation.
So That's right.
Give it to me straight. If you believe something awesome, I'm glad you have something to believe in.
Right.
Find a way to shoot it to me where it won't beat me down.
Right.
And where I can appreciate it is the art that you're supposed to be making.
Yeah.
And that's where absolutely Natalie Maines has every right to stand up and say something. But the other half of freedom is you can say what you want, but you better be willing to put up with the flack you're going to get after you say it.
That's right. That's
right. People want to be able to do and say whatever they want and have no consequences. And the lines, I think, are pretty clearly drawn on where people want, how they want their artists to deliver stuff to them.
All right.
Do it in the song.
That'd be like a Kobe Bryant wanting to go into a Kobe Bryant basketball clinic, and then he starts kind of lecturing the kids about politics, and then he goes, and also I've written some songs. And he plays three of his new songs, and you're just kind of like, he's like, hey, man, I got every right to write songs. You know, you're just kind of like, I know, but we're not here to listen to, this is not why we're here.
Hey, the great.
I thought you liked Kobe. You believed in Kobe and his pet. I'm like, I know. It's because he's a good basketball player. We're not here to listen to his opinions on
the war and listen to this.
Well, and some
I mean,
of the
is that sort of I mean that's, yeah, that's kind of a goofy
and,
analogy.
And some of the great painters throughout history,
yeah,
you could look at their paintings and appreciate it as a work of beauty, and they would put little underlying symbols of their personal
sure.
beliefs.
Yeah,
into
right,
the work.
Right, right.
And a lot of times it wasn't obvious to the casual mm-hmm. viewer of their work.
Right.
But if you wanted to dig deeper, you could find some sort of meaning in it.
And if you didn't maybe agree with it, it wouldn't maybe disturb the overall presence of it.
It still would look good hanging in your living room.
Exactly.
That's
I mean,
the point of art, is making something yeah. that can be appreciated.
You don't agree with De La Rocha's politics, but I still love Rage Against the Machine. I was just like, dude, they're that gay
I would like to
that's
challenge
awesome.
De La Rocha to a public fight.
Oh, yeah.
Nay, I'll come to Los Angeles. I want me and you in a ring.
The Battle of Los Angeles is on.
We can make it three rounds. You won't last one, but let's do it. Let's get it on. You've got all that anger in you. Let's get it out, buddy.
Yeah, oh, man, I wouldn't go in the ring with Kurt South for 1 second. Oh, not for 1 second. Well, man, there's a throwdown right there. Have a cage match with you and De La Rocha. This is your new career? You're getting off of music?
Only if you're little, short, heroin-addicted musicians. If he was 6'4", 280, I wouldn't issue
what
that.
What if they agree with your politics? Will you not have the anger enough to fight him?
No, I'd love to fight Toby Keith.
Mm-hmm.
I need to work out for a while.
You and
See,
Floater.
Toby Keith, I agree with his politics, and I still think he's a D-bag.
Yeah.
So it's not whether we agree or disagree. I
that's not the point, right?
Yeah. Well, I say I agree with his politics. I don't know what his politics are, other than trying to prove what white trash.
Here's my question. Okay, so who's an artist you like? I mean, name an
perfect
artist.
Example.
Yeah,
Bruce Hornsby.
Okay,
he is from all accounts, you know, he's a big environmentalist.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of his.
Sure.
You can tell by what I'm saying. I'm right of center on mm-hmm. most things.
Sure.
But in Hornsby's,
gee, you think
Hornsby's written some stuff that if you really listen to it, he's talking about corporations polluting the Chesapeake Bay in this song.
Yeah, right.
But it's one of my favorite songs.
Right.
And the way he did it, I don't care. I love the song. I know what the message is, and it's great.
Right.
I think what he's saying in that context is great. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But he's not one to just stand up and make himself and his beliefs an issue outside of the music.
Right.
And, you know, some people go, oh, he's a coward. He won't stand up. Hey, look, all these guys that stand up for something they believe in, most of them wait till after they're rich and famous, and it doesn't matter if they lose all their fans.
Yeah.
You know, take it for what it's worth, coming from a guy who's made millions of dollars for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now he's taking a stand. Well, great.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're taking a stand.
Who are you talking about now?
Just anyone.
Yeah.
Springsteen.
Yeah. Okay,
or
yeah.
Any
right.
It doesn't matter. It's consider the source. I have a lot more respect for the guy who's just standing out on the side of the street holding up a sign wearing rags for clothes than I do for the multimillionaire celebrity. Because they live in a parallel universe. They don't live in the real world with the rest of us. So whatever they have to say cannot possibly be relevant to what's really going on in the real world.
So you're a musician, so why do I have to sit here and listen to this stuff from you?
Because you asked me to show up. But I don't come on here and talk about and just make my politics.
No,
as a matter of fact, I would just assume not discuss politics.
Yeah.
Except with a very select few people.
This is not really pop. I mean, your leftist is a music writer. Alex Chilton's a music guy. De La Rocha. It's all music guy. It does cross that line. I do think an event like, I think there's some, you know, like a benefit for New Orleans or something. I mean, that's something everybody can get behind, you know?
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
There's good to be done. That is not divisive.
But let's do good for the sake of doing good and not to push one side or the other.
Yeah.
That's my problem with all this, a lot of this stuff. It's got strings attached.
Right.
And, hey, what's wrong with us just doing something good for the sake of doing good? And, hey, if you really want to do some good, do it anonymously and really do something that makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know, if I want to go out and make a difference in someone's life, I can go out and do that, and I don't have to issue a press release or take a camera along with me. Hello, Sean Penn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bring a camera crew along to capture. Just go do something good. And that's between you and God, and that's it. And that's all that matters.
That's right, that's right.
And whoever it was that you helped. But all the grandstanding and all of the strings that are attached to it, you know, I always take Oprah Winfrey with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
She does so much good. But she does all that. It's just marketing for her billion-dollar industry that she has.
Right.
You know, if she just wanted to go out and change the world, cash in all your chips, and go out and do it under the cover of darkness and really make a difference.
Yeah.
She tells us every good thing she does. She's on the cover of every one of her stinking magazines, reminding you and I of how great she is and what good she does. I'd venture to say that doesn't come from a pure spot. I don't want to hear about it. I don't care how many piece of crap Pontiacs she gives away or how much money she claims to have given to a school somewhere. Don't tell anybody.
All right. Enough.
Hey, you asked. I told.
Did I? I don't remember asking. I haven't said anything. I've been sitting here over here for 15 minutes.
You want to talk about it. We just talked about it.
Good grief. That kind of begs the question. Who is the most apolitical musician out there? Apolitical. You wouldn't even know maybe where he falls on a lot of issues.
I think Tom Petty is a guy like that.
Because if you look at like Paul Simon, you would assume he's a New York guy. He's kind of he's a hippie.
No,
dude.
Simon
He's a lefty.
Yeah,
he's
where he falls.
You know Toby Keith, Skinner, and they're all kind of righties. So who's a musician out there, very famous? He's kind of like, man, yeah, I really wouldn't
Pat
know.
Pat D'Anizio from the Smithereens.
Well, you said Petty. That's interesting. Why is that? Any kind of dope-smoking hippie guy?
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean that he's in a certain political arena on everything.
He's kind of a southern guy, a Florida guy. Probably got a pistol in his boot, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bob Dylan's famous for being a man of contradictions.
Very,
and you don't know where he stands. Now,
very conservative, really, Dylan.
Yeah,
for the most part,
he's a pretty conservative guy. But, you know, none of that stuff matters to me.
Mm-hmm.
None of it matters to me if I appreciate what it is you're doing. And a guy like Tom Petty, I don't care where he stands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad he's able to stand somewhere.
Yeah.
I just think American Girl kicks ass.
Yeah, that's great.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's all I need from him.
Uh-huh.
And because we get it from everywhere else. We're just bombarded with this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if this podcast has turned into something somebody out there doesn't want, because that's not the intention.
Yeah, right.
I think that when people start pushing that into things,
yeah,
that's their ego talking and their perceived influence. They're just dying to you know, some of these celebrities, they really think that they're just changing the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Bono is just, I am just above all man. Well,
right.
I can't stand him any longer because he's not, you're not Jesus Christ. And please, please back off on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And go back and make a record half as good as the Joshua Tree,
mm-hmm.
and maybe somebody will be interested again.
Yeah.
That's it. That is it.
Oh, God. Oh, man. I want to apologize to our listeners out there. I stretched this into two segments. I thought we were really going somewhere. And this second segment has just been a Kurt South hijacking of the P2 podcast. I am to blame. I've asked for it. But I think he makes some very clear points because it's interesting what you said, though, because it doesn't swing both ways, because I'm as equally put off by Skinner or Toby Keith or somebody ranting and raving about, you know, putting a boot in somebody's ass.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I don't go, hell yeah, it's about time somebody stood up. I'm kind of like, oh, gosh.
There's a sense of decorum.
You know what I'm saying? It makes me groan.
At the Republican National Convention, when they march up all these redneck two-bit bands up there, and
yeah,
oh, we got the dude from Big and Rich going to sing a song about Detroit. Hey, that turns my stomach every bit as it does for me to look at Zach De La Rocha.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to fight John Rich and his moron right-wing self.
It's the ego you don't like, it's not the politics.
If you ask John Rich and he's honest, he goes, I really made a difference, man. I really did. I'm standing up for you're not standing up for anybody other than you and your own bank account.
That's right.
And do not for one second try to get us to believe that your motives are pure, because if, like I said, you want to make a difference, you have the means and the time to go do it, so go do it. We don't need to hear about it.
Right.
That's it. And I can't put it any more clearly than that. both sides, shut up.
When it comes to musicians.
When it comes to music, both sides, shut up. That's what funny Washington, D.C. is for. Let them slug
it out. I've made this point several times in the podcast because I think it gets incorrectly. Everybody knows I'm a big Dylan fan and stuff. And he's so associated with politics and the civil rights movement and all that. But if you really look at Dylan, man, he was just very out of that. He was very put off by it. He wasn't a Woodstock. He wasn't a big out hippie marching guy. And famously, you know, he dated Joan Baez, who was, you know, just a tireless promoter.
That was a source of tension between the two of them.
Big time. And she would always try to get Dylan to go on these marches and all this. And, man, he would never do it. Now Dylan did play at Martin Luther King, like a speech he gave.
Yeah.
Like early on, like 1960 or something, 61, 62. But kind of when all that took off, man, the mid-60s and stuff, Dylan just stayed way out of it. He just goes, man, I don't identify with the Woodstock generation. He goes, I don't understand.
And he's always said, I'm not a topical songwriter.
Yeah, I don't write topics because I just kind of write things as I see them. But as a result, his music is for everyone. He doesn't assume that he has something to say outside of a song.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't give interviews a lot. He just kind of mumbles through it, you know. He wrote a book. I mean, but it's not political in nature. He's not lecturing you on how to think.
Or he's not holding you with contempt if he assumes you disagree. And that's what drives
that's what
me
it
nuts.
Is. That's what it is. Don't, that's kind of getting the heart of it.
Don't assume that I'm an ignorant redneck.
Well, that's an interesting point. I hadn't really thought about that until you said that. You just kind of go, look, it's the politics have nothing to do with it. It's just the fact that it's being said rubs me the wrong way. It doesn't matter if it's the left or the right. They both need to shut up.
Yeah.
A song like Imagine from John Lennon, it's just great and beautiful as it is.
Yeah.
Despite where it's coming from, anyone can appreciate it.
Absolutely.
But when he plays it live, or back when he did play it live, if he followed it up with some lecture on how some new candidate was going to bring this to fruition, you would just go, oh, somebody hit me in the face. This is about to kill me.
Well, and hey,
seriously, I mean, that's what you have to put up with.
Right.
I mean, and that's the shame of going to... Oh, some of these guys like Pearl Jam and Neil Young. It's just you love their music, but then they start. Here they go. Oh man, they think they're here.
Well,
to,
and look, you always know. Run an inherent risk when you politicize whatever it is you're doing. Whether you're a TV preacher, I'm the same way with preachers.
Yeah,
my father's a prominent minister.
Yeah,
and I'm grateful he's always stayed out of politics.
Right, right.
Because I think once you take that into politics, you're really changing the meaning, and you're changing it as a tool, and it's not right. But keep in mind that whenever you choose to politicize something, you're running a great risk.
Yeah.
You're getting in the mud as well.
Right.
Just like when Rodney Crowell came out as a big John Edwards supporter and was playing John Edwards. Well, where's John Edwards now? And Rodney Crowell, all this John Edwards stuff is off his website, and he's just going, I like politics.
Dude, no.
Man, you run that risk because, you know, just John Edwards now has a fun baby and – his wife dying of cancer wasn't enough to stop him from unleashing the hounds on some girl.
Oh,
and you're just throwing yourself down in the mud, and it's – hey, taking the safe route doesn't mean that you're not an artist. And that's something that bothers me that, man, if you really are a courageous artist, you'll do that. Man, that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
And being an artist doesn't mean that you're on one side of the political spectrum or the other. It doesn't mean you dress a certain way.
In fact, the greats, like we talked about Mutt Lange last week, really, when you get down to it, the great artists, the most mysterious, the most intriguing, are the guys who just make great stuff and then really don't even talk much about it.
Won't tell
you, won't tell you what to think about it, won't do an interview about it, don't do a book tour, don't go on Oprah. They just, like Mutt Lange, no interviews. Dylan, you know, very few interviews on him.
Yeah.
People don't know much about it. But then, you go live to Canada and there's Paul McCartney shielding a baby seal from
it immediately
some hunter.
And it also sometimes the great artistic minds are built on instability.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when they start talking too much, like you listen to John Lennon after a while, you figure out he's just ass crazy.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, from Yoko and all that stuff on, you're like, dude, the guy was just not balanced.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I've read books about Lennon, and he was unstable and messed up.
Yeah.
But yet people are holding him up as, that's our guy, man. Like, really? You're being led in a battle by this fruitcake? Wonderful. And I love Lennon as a musician. Love the Beatles.
Yeah.
But, man, be careful because you just, let's go figure out what made Zach De La Rocha the way he is, and you'll go see who's leading you into battle.
Yep.
He's just a screwball.
What do we got in the vault?
I've got nothing.
We'll figure it out when we come back.
I'm dragging a bag full of nothing.
Kurt South. The vault.
I'm spent.
Coming up next. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast. Joining you for this week's chat about music and all that implies, guiding your musical light and enlightening yourself in our warm glow. Kurt South is here. He's exhausted over here on the couch, just the sweat beating on his forehead. He's just been ranting for the last hour.
Just been on a roll.
Just going off. Man, and does not like when musicians step out of their role a bit. And you know what's funny is those musicians and actors a lot of times get very offended. And they can say, well, you don't like it. You know, you love my movies, but you don't like it because I'm expressing myself. I have every right to express myself and stuff.
I'm a person.
But it's like you said so well. It's just like, well, yeah, but, you know, I also have the right then to never listen to you again or have anything to do with you if you're violating that trust.
And,
so to speak.
And I tried to toe the line on that.
Yeah.
Turn my back on Lefsetz. Turn my back on Springsteen, a couple others, just because, and Steve Earle, because, man, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And I will not buy the album or go see the movie or whatever or subscribe to the blog.
Yeah.
And I don't back off from it. And I haven't missed Lefsetz one bit.
So where do you stand on Dennis Hopper, the late Dennis
Greatness.
Hopper. Greatness. Dennis Hopper. In the vault today, the late, great Dennis Hopper passed away here recently.
I thought we were going to talk about Rue McClanahan, but...
Yeah, no, yeah, I know. Passing as well. Rue McClanahan. Bea Arthur a couple years ago, another golden girl.
Yeah, and Betty White's just out there kicking
just hosting Saturday Night Live.
Just rocking out at age 207.
So in the vault, what do you know about old Hopper? I was reading about him a little bit earlier. I didn't realize, I forgot he was in the early James Dean stuff. Giant,
yeah.
Rebel Without a Cause, Dennis Hopper. Guy got started, all these film guys, I got kids interested in acting and stuff. How do you get into acting and stuff? And dude, you know, like Miley Cyrus or something, it's just typical. Her dad's in showbiz. You know what I'm saying? I just go, man, it's just very hard.
That's a loose interpretation of the word
showbiz.
Well,
whatever. Hey, man, he had the biggest hit of all time. What is it?
I guess. He had the biggest mullet and whitest Reeboks of all time.
You know, there's a funny Billy Ray Cyrus story, though, that an engineer in Nashville told me one time. I thought was kind of interesting as we get off the subject here.
Here we go.
At his peak, Cyrus, talk about being political. Talk about someone to rub you the wrong way. Now, he, I don't know if he said anything about it, but in his heyday there was like a kid in Nashville, a high school student, that had had been diagnosed with HIV. And the school had kicked him out or said he couldn't come to school. Or there was some issue like that, hot topic at the time. And it was the year the Olympic torch was running through Tennessee. And Cyrus was listed to carry the torch through downtown Nashville for like a mile.
Just
or something.
Mullet flowing
in
the wind.
Just Billy Ray, his white Reeboks and tank top, just with the torch. And they go, man, regardless of what you think of Billy Ray Cyrus, you know, he gets that torch and then he turns to the crowd, he starts waving, and man, this kid that had been kicked out, this controversial kid, comes out of the crowd and the two of them hold the torch. He goes, and man, runs it all the way down the street in Nashville. And I don't care what you think of him or think of his politics. But I'm telling you what, man, in Nashville, Tennessee, that took a lot of balls, man.
A lot, yeah.
So I was always kind of like, man, that's kind of cool, really. I mean,
well, that takes, wasn't politics. That
he wasn't.
Was just
he
showing
wasn't talking.
Kindness to another
he wasn't.
Human.
He wasn't speaking. Now, if he'd have been running his mouth all week, it wouldn't have had the same effectiveness.
But he didn't know how to pronounce HIV, probably. Well, so yeah. He couldn't have done it.
Well, but he anyway. So that's maybe a. How do we start talking about him? Billy Ray Cyrus and the
good
ball.
Good for Billy Ray.
So what about old Hopper, man? political as heck, right? Was he? Well, he's a hit the easy rider guy.
Well, you know.
Or he was kind of a conservative guy, really, in real life, wasn't
toward
he?
Toward the end of his life, he was, yeah.
Because, dude, he was totally, people know him from Easy Rider, man, just, you know, the drugs, the hippie.
I think he subscribed, I heard Robert Downey Jr. Say this one time, and I think Hopper kind of subscribed to this. Robert Downey Jr. being a former very bad drug addict and alcoholic.
Right.
Say, man, being a recovering addict like I am, you kind of have to be conservative.
yeah.
You just kind of goes with what the way I'm living now. Mm-hmm. And I think Hopper, toward the end of his life, subscribed to that maybe.
Yeah.
Man,
Went the other way. Right.
At some
right.
point. But that happens with a lot of people as they get older and mature, maybe. They change politically, whatever. But his... And his body of work is varied. It's vast.
Man, you told him he was in a John Wayne movie. Sure enough, he's listed in there as True
and
Grit.
He was in Sons of Katie Elder, too, I'm pretty
sure. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, Sons of Katie Elder is in my top five favorite movies of all time.
Sons of Katie Elder. God, I'm trying to find what that is here.
God, it's a great movie. Great John Wayne movie. It comes on TBS sometimes. Got to stop down and watch it. But Hopper, man. Easy Rider, True Grit.
Easy Rider was such a classic.
Oh, it defined a part of a generation.
But, man, it's hard to watch these days. Have you seen it in a while?
Yeah, I see.
God, it was... I watched it for a film class in college, and I remember just going, man, what is this? And my teacher, Dr. Gaines, he was an old 60s guy. So, man, this was just right at the cutting edge, man. I'm just kind of like, dude, what is this?
It's kind of a beating to watch now.
It is.
But, you know, Dennis Hopper, later in his career, did those Foot Locker commercials where he was like the...
You were talking about that.
He was the crazy referee.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, but that's one thing I kind of love about Dennis Hopper is he was just always on the verge of just absolute insanity.
Yeah, he just...
Or at least he just came across that way.
That was his typecast role, was just a guy that was just on the edge of sanity, you know?
Oh, and I loved it, man. He's so funny without being a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
And just had this dry wit that was... And he, on top of that, he's just a great actor.
Yeah.
In those John Wayne movies, he just plays kind of a young outlaw gunslinger type. But
yeah.
It almost doesn't look like Dennis Hopper. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't associate
you don't recognize
that character.
Him, right.
Yeah, I mean, I'd watch Sons of Katie Elder 100 times before I had to watch the credits. That was Dennis Hopper playing
that
role.
I've kind of noticed that about actors, that they, as they evolve, as they get older, they become a caricature of themselves. More.
Same for musicians.
I know, for all, but like comedians, you look old footage of like David Letterman or Leno. They're much more conversational. Mm-hmm. They're much more real. They look a little awkward at times. They look like they're really talking. And more now, they're just, hey,
Leno's just hands in his pipe. Kevin, you're from Philly, damn.
It's just so routine. The great, most mysterious actor of all time for me in that regard is the great Al Pacino.
Crazy.
Now, but he started out, go back and watch The Godfather.
Yeah.
Michael Corleone. He's young, handsome. Just don't ask me about my business, Kay. Don't ask me about my business. You know, just very, very measured, very clear. Serpico, he was like that.
Yeah, another great movie.
Pacino. And at some point, he just became just, just in every movie.
Well, he became crazy Al, and it's like he bought into his own legend.
Eyes bulging. By the time he did The Godfather 3, he was just, what are you doing? They're drawing me back in. Pacino, everyone goes, well, that's just Pacino. I'm like, but he didn't used to be like that. He used to be like a normal actor.
See Matthew McConaughey. who just plays himself in every movie now. If you see him in the first movies ever in, the high school drama.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever it was.
But that set the tone. Wasn't it just, all right.
Yeah, but still, you watch that, and you're like, yeah, the accent, the voice makes me realize it's McConaughey, but now he's in every movie, he's just,
all right. That's
right. Yeah, I mean, he started reading his own press, watched his own movie a few too many times, and now in every movie, he's just the same guy. Like, Bradley Cooper's in danger of that happening.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's just kind of laid back, kind of smart aleck guy.
Yeah,
just
right.
Kind of a party guy, but just in every movie, he's playing the same role, wearing mm-hmm. the same clothes.
Yeah.
Doing the, you're like, dude, you're already there.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
Vince Vaughn does it, but in a charming, unoffensive sort of way.
But boy, man, Vaughn's had three or four.
Yeah.
Where he's like, what am I doing? You know, it just kind of starts to...
I'm here to have fun.
It's a difficult deal.
Can you give me the orders with the crab cakes? I love crab cakes.
I put it on my pancakes. You know, now it's just like, go back and watch Swingers. It's funny. And then anything he's done after that is like Swingers on steroids. Just like, okay.
All these beautiful babies out there. You're just like, all right, how many times are you going to use
I mean, Mork and Mindy was funny. Now try and watch Robin Williams do an interview.
Oh.
I mean, you just take a baseball bat to your own head.
By the way, this morning on
Jim Carrey, funny. Now just awful. He puts me on the top. Even Tom Hanks, beloved Tom Hanks, who was kind of funny. Hanks is just kind of Hanks.
Yeah.
But now he comes on, and he's so shticky, man. And I don't know if he's just being himself, and we're all used to seeing him.
No, he's being what the audience expects.
He's being Tom Hanks. And he goes, hey, Dave, I was out. I couldn't put my car back. Come on. He's just doing his thing. It's so over the top.
This morning on the Bonnie Hunt Show, which I never watched, but I happened to be...
watching the Bonnie... Learning how to fold sheets?
No,
are you making blueberry muffins?
Hold on. Hear me out. I was feeding the baby, and it was just on that channel. And she said, she was about to go to a break, and she said, next segment, Chevy Chase. Dude.
Did he trip as he walked out on the stage?
No, I was expecting him to be that way.
Yeah.
And he wasn't.
Yeah.
He was almost half serious.
That's weird, yeah.
He's
kind
of become that way in his old age. And he was really great, I thought. I mean, he was making some wisecracks.
Sure.
But, man, he was not like that. And mm-hmm. I was fully expecting him to walk in and look around and trip.
Put his feet up on the desk.
And then,
spill his water.
Accidentally say nipple a couple times. And he did do anything.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But
interesting.
You're right. But Hopper...
Now, that's mainly... it's mainly with the comedian, the funny type guys... Comedy does not age well. People get tired of your act. You probably got one thing you do that's really funny. I mean, Jim Carrey had Vince Vaughn kind of had his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Williams.
McConaughey never had anything.
Well, he's got his whole just like, hey man, just living. All right. Now that's all he does.
Hold on.
Stop that. Put that down. But now the serious actor, De Niro, the Clint Eastwood, they got their thing too, but they're still taller.
They're more chameleons because they're playing different kinds of roles.
A little bit.
They're truly great ones, are man. They go from you know.
But Hopper, man, he kind of played the zany, crazy Al type guy.
Oh yeah, he did.
Hoosiers. I mean, he was great in Hoosiers, you know. But
yeah,
he's just drunk out of his mind in the woods with a shotgun. A man after your own heart.
Yeah, I love it.
Did you identify with this character just face down in that creek with a shotgun?
Yes.
Just going, I'm going to run the swinging gate or whatever. He's doing in there. Don't get caught watching the paint dry.
An interesting fact about Hopper. Just a few weeks before he died, you know, apparently he was dying of cancer.
Right.
He and his wife
mm-hmm.
had separated sometime long after he'd gotten ill, and if just like 3 weeks before he died, I read online that a judge, judged against him in their divorce. And he was having to pay like $17,000 a month in alimony and child support to his wife and stuff. Like, dude.
That just put him on the fast track, I'll bet, after that.
The end of your life. I mean, the death watch for him has been on for a while.
Yeah, he's been he had cancer, prostate cancer.
Yeah, and you know, like, man, that you're just on your way out anyway. And on top of that, the judge just goes, your ex-wife can't get by on anything less than $17,000
a month. Gosh. Good grief. He's got like a 7-year-old kid, on there, you know.
Yeah, so, and believe me, I have children, as do you, and it takes at least $17,000 a month to raise them.
At least. Cheerios aren't free, Seth.
My break even is $60,000 a month.
What do you make of old Hopper in a Waterworld?
All right, if we're going to cover the man's career.
Well, I'm looking over his later work here.
We have to cover all
of it.
What were some of the later movies he's in besides Waterworld? Because that movie didn't exist as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, gosh. Jeez, man, nothing that...
Yeah, he hadn't been in a lot of movies in recent years.
Land of the Dead.
Oh, God.
Crow, Wicked Prayer.
So things were bad toward the end of his life, is what we're saying. his career took a turn. He ended up in Foot Locker commercials.
I'm kind of going back here. I'm back to 2002. Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Is that a movie or was that a video game thing?
Video game, I think. They probably made a movie as well.
Jaws Fire 5, the prequel.
Did you never saw that?
No. I just made that up.
Oh.
Were you going to claim to have seen it?
No. I didn't know there was a Jaws 5.
Jaws 5, when he was a little shark. Let's see here. let's see. Gosh, I never... EdTV. EdTV. 1998. EdTV. That was McConaughey.
Wasn't it?
Was that EdTV? Was that the one where Matt LeBlanc of Friends co-starred with a mechanical chimp? Remember that?
Is Matt LeBlanc still alive?
I remember after Friends came out, Matt LeBlanc, Joey A. He was just proudly, after Friends finished, he was proudly displayed in the Blockbuster by my house. In a baseball uniform.
The one on Heelan right there?
Yeah. With a baseball uniform holding a chimpanzee in a new movie. I think it was called Ed.
Oh, I remember that.
Ed.
Yeah.
He's just going, you know, just.
That's right.
Just, Matt, you've had a great run at Friends. I mean, you're paid $1 million an episode for 12 years. Just, yeah, it's been great. Hey, we got an exciting new project for you. Just, what? Did we get the thing with, whoever, Gwyneth Paltrow? Just. Not exactly. Your co-star is going to be...
Bubbles.
A chimpanzee. or when he can't act, it will be a mechanical chimp. But rest assured, it will be a Blockbuster. Yeah, I think EdTV was McConaughey also.
One day we're going to have to
True Romance. True Romance.
Oh, yeah, that was...
Yeah.
Oh, he played that... Oh, yeah.
Red Rock West. Nicolas Cage.
Dude, True Romance, that was another great one. That great scene where Christopher Walken is the mob guy.
Now, there's a guy who's doing the same thing. We all love Christopher Walken. But,
I don't like your tone.
He's just, he just keeps doing, what it is that,
I love his hair. Love his hair.
He's got good hair.
True Romance, the great that has a that Roseanne Arquette.
Mm. Yeah. Yes. And Christian Slater. God, whatever happened to Christian Slater?
Assaulting women on the sidewalk. Last I heard.
Last I heard, he was shirtless in a stairwell.
He's just another one who started just kind of.
God, yeah, it's nuts. These guys. Like, man, well, you know happened? What, man? The actor is. I mean, we've said it before, dude. If you're a musician. If you're a piano player, you can enjoy your craft in a room by yourself. You know, you can just say, man, I wrote a song, a few people like it, great. If you're an actor, you're waiting for someone else's creative impetus to give you something to do.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
You can't just
act. Talk about what happened to him.
Looking in the mirror. Or Dennis Hopper, 1996, you make The Making of Super Mario Brothers. Wow. Gosh, Space Truckers, Waterworld. I'm going back here. Speed, of course. Come on.
Yeah.
1994.
Wow. Greatness.
Boy, early 90s, man. He had Super Mario Brothers.
Another guy.
Red Rock West, True Romance, and Speed kind of right there all together. That's a good year.
Keanu Reeves, another guy who just plays himself all the time.
Yes. Paris Trout. You ever see that?
No.
Oh, man.
Good?
He's like this drunk, abusive guy. You'd love it.
Oh, I'm in.
You'd cry at the end. They finally throw him in jail.
Oh.
Flashback. Gosh, I don't know that one. Catch Fire. Blood Red. Any of these ring a bell? The films of Dennis Hopper. I'm going back. 1987.
Well, we shouldn't have gotten out of the 60s with Dennis Hopper.
I know. I'm trying to get back there here. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Ooh. Blue Velvet. Hoosiers.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
There we go.
River's Edge.
River's Edge was good.
What else we got? Rumblefish. 83. Is that ring a bell? Rumblefish.
Yeah.
Sounds like a shit. Of course, Apocalypse Now. That kind of got him back into the consciousness of everybody. But yeah, man, a great actor. Of course, what would you say his seminal role is? Easy Rider, and then maybe Hoosiers, kind of his later career.
Yeah, man, I tell you that his role.
Cool Hand Luke had a role in that. Great
True
movie.
Romance. That was a big role for him. That's a great movie, man.
That was, man. That was intense.
It was.
Did Tarantino do that, or he wrote it, or
yeah, I think he
helped direct it or something. But
James Gandolfini slices his palm while they're torturing, and then they pour rubbing alcohol in it.
Oh, yeah.
That's some good stuff.
Val Kilmer's Elvis keeps appearing to
yeah.
Clarence.
Boy, there's another guy.
I believe in you, Clarence.
Here's the triumvirate of what happened to him. Christian Slater, Val Kilmer,
and Meg
Lou
Ryan.
Diamond Phillips.
Lou Diamond Phillips, yeah. He's on Broadway. He did The King and I, didn't he? Lou Diamond Phillips or something?
Isn't being on Broadway like being unemployed?
I don't know. Yeah. That's like actors' workers' comp. You go on Broadway.
That's like saying, whatever happened to Pritchett? He's got a house gig over at Disney World. It's just kind of... Oh, really?
I'm already there. I'm playing there next week.
He's just there in a Hawaiian shirt.
Well, that is our show. That is our show. Oh, man. Kurt Stapp, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I hope I didn't offend anyone.
Oh, well, I'm sure you didn't. Sure you didn't.
I love the hate mail, though.
You're here to espouse your opinions, and you've done so very, very well. Well, download all those Kurt Stapp songs and Phil Pritchett, the full band songs, on iTunes. Or if you want to just get my albums for $4, go to p2tunes.com. Email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Or call me, 817-733-5256, to book the full band. Bring us to your home, your festival, your club, your ranch, wherever. We love it, man. We'll make it work. Those are the shows we want to play, after all. Thanks for listening to this edition of the P2 Podcast. Podcast number, what is it, 67 or something? God, are we still here, South? How long have I been here?
But we don't have confirmation anyone listens.
My goodness gracious. If you're out there, send us an email. Let us know you're listening. We love you all. This is Phil for the P2 Podcast. For Kurt South, we'll see you next week. Take care.
Stand up and walk out on me. Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do you like it? All I need is my body. I say I'm gonna get high.
Tell ya, but it's so beautiful.